Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm glad you're here. It's fun to be with you live. And we are in lesson four. This is day two of our study, and we're going to start with the very first chunk of scripture here in Acts chapter four for this lesson. Grab your Bible, get your lesson already downloaded. Hopefully, I assume when you joined in, you had your notes and everything ready to go. So get all that set up and ready to go, and let's go ahead and dive into today's lesson. I'm really looking forward to being with you here. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button and follow these Bible studies so that you can get the notifications when we go live. Maybe you just set your schedule so you can join me here when I'm live, but it's really good to be here. I'm glad you're with me, and we're going to have a great time this morning. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we will hop over to the Bible study page so you can see what's going on. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together today and just wherever we're at in this day. I thank you for what you are teaching us, how we're learning and growing closer to you. I ask that you bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go for it. I'm going to switch screens here. There we go. Hi. Okay, so again, we are in Acts chapter 4, and this is lesson 4, day 2, just to make sure we're all on the same page, literally on the same page here. And today we'll be reading and studying through Acts 4, 23 through 31. As always, we begin with our memory verse, which this lesson is Acts 5, 29, short and sweet. It was like a little bit longer last time. Is a little bit shorter. Maybe you'll remember it easier, but here we go. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." That's it. Short and sweet. We must obey God rather than men. And then our writing today comes from Acts 4:24, which we will be listening to or talking through in just a minute, because what we're doing in this particular lesson is we're writing the prayer that the apostles prayed. And so it's pretty short. You're getting like one verse a day this time. And so I've given you that page at the back of your lesson. So go ahead and turn to that. And when you have a minute, go ahead and write that down. Okay. So beginning here in Acts 4:23, thinking through that. Oh, you know what? Let me go ahead. Let's read that before we go any further so we kind of know where we're going, right? Okay. So Acts 4:23 through 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had destined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." All right. You know, it's one of those things reading this, I realize I'm reading the record of a prayer that was spoken corporately or together in one spirit. And I feel like I want to read it differently. Like I go back and read it like it's a prayer. So we won't do that right now, but think about that next time you read things through. Like, what are we reading? We're reading a prayer. So read it with that in mind, you know, picturing that in your head as you go. All right, here we go. So thinking through Acts 4:23, highlight each moment of Peter and John's actions in your Bible and write your thoughts and answers to the following. So we have the release, the return, and the report, right? When they were released, who are the they in this verse? All right, going back, if you're not 100% sure, if you don't recall, just I can push this back over. Actually, I think I don't want to push that. It'll go to Acts chapter 3 if I hit that button there. But grab your Bible and just look at it. And it's Peter and John. Peter and John had been imprisoned, and so they were then released. They were in custody, really, and they had been released. Okay, so who were the they? That's Peter and John. And actually, that's somewhat of a discussion in commentaries, like exactly who was. So for the sake of our lesson here today, we will say Peter and John. All right, from what were they released? And let's go ahead and review here Acts 4. I'll highlight it so I can hop over to Bible Gateway, Acts 4, 1 through 3. It'll take a second to call it up. Maybe while I'm doing that, you can be turning to that in your Bible. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, and they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. All right, so from what were they released? They were released from custody they had been put into. All right, so the return. To whom did they return? Read this in several translations. It's really kind of interesting. So I've shown you this before. I'll show it to you one more time. We'll just hit the translation comparison button there on the side of our screen. We will see this. And to whom did they return? On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. And in the ESV, it says to their friends. And let's get another translation up here. They went to their own people. Christian Standard translates the Greek as to their own people. And New Century says their own group. Let's hit one more. King James, they went to their own companions. It's always good and helpful to read other translations of the Bible because each translator takes the Greek from the transcripts and does the best that they can based on their knowledge and as a team. It's very rare, although we do have some, that a translator will be a single person. There are a few. Most of them modern times are written by a team of people that come together and understand the Greek. So they return to their own, to their friends, to their companions. And here's the report. Based on Acts 4, 1 through 22, summarize the report the apostles likely gave and what chief priests and elders had said to them. I'm getting a little sloppy with the. I have the up here and I needed to put it down here in typo here in the Bible study. Oh, there we go. It's just what happens when you're typing stuff up. And I need to pay a better editor and secretary, apparently. I need to pay for one, period. All right, Acts 4, 1 through 22. Pretty sure I got that copied correctly. Let's go ahead and go over that. So this is the passage we've read before, and we've already read this from the previous lesson. But just a point of review, they had just healed this guy, the lame man, Peter had, and John, and they're speaking in the temple. The Sadducees come upon them. They're really annoyed, and they end up putting him in custody. Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit and he preaches to them that they crucified their own Messiah and that they need to repent. There is no salvation in anyone else. And that doesn't make them any more happy at all. And they realize that Peter and John are something's up and something's different. They can't decide what to do, but they just charge them, don't speak in his name anymore. All right. So summarize that report that they probably gave and what the chief priests and elders had said to them. So I'm sure they summarized all of that and went back and said, and they told us not to speak in Jesus' name anymore. So surely they'll just stop speaking in Jesus' name, right? Yeah, wrong. So describe in three words the way Peter and John were treated by the religious leaders. They were treated. How were they treated? Were they treated harshly, unfairly? Were they treated without regard, disrespectfully? How would you summarize, how would you say that they were treated? I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are on that. Give me three words. They were treated three ways. Tell me how you think. So in your Bible, then draw a box around the word friends in 4:23 and a box around the word together in 4:24. Connect both words. In the margin, make a note that the word translated friends, which is in the ESV, is from the Greek word idios, meaning uniquely one's own, and the word translated together is from the Greek homothumadon, which means the same passion. We talked about this a little bit in the last study about the thumadon and then the connection to the to passion in the heart. So when they heard the apostles' report, how did they respond? Well, let's take a look. I'm going to go ahead and clear out the other translations just so we can see it a little more focused here. Click and click. All right. When they heard, they lifted their voices together to God, and that's how they do. And then what do? They pray. That's right. All right. When they heard the apostles' report, how did they respond? They lifted up and they prayed. They lifted their voices. I'll highlight that. Lifted their voices together to God, which is basically is praying corporately, crying out to God. That's exactly what praying is. How do they address God in their prayer? How do they address him? Well, coming back over to here, they said, sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. But we'll just write that, sovereign Lord. And this is translated from despota, which you might hear our word, a despot. You can look that up. But despota, it applies someone who's exercising unrestricted power and total absolute dominion, and they are limited in no way, and they're free from restraint. So they are addressing God, free from restraints, that God, right? The Almighty God. So how do the next words of their prayer further point to this truth about God's power? Well, what did they say about the sovereign Lord? He made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In other words, you reign from everything. It's all yours, God. You are the sovereign despota. You are complete, ultimate commander over everything. So use the cross references in your Bible to find the next part of their prayer, which is quoted from the foundational testament. Write that verse reference here. Highlight both passages in your Bible. And let me show you how to do that on Bible Gateway. You hit this little settings button and hit cross references. And then the little letters will show up. And we click right here, this letter C, and it'll take us to the cross reference. And we see that it's from Psalm 2, 1 through 2. Isn't that cool? And in your Bible, depending on how your Bible organizes cross references, mine has them down the center and sometimes on the bottom. Maybe yours are all down the bottom, or maybe they're on the sides. You should be able to look up the little letter and go and do that when you're studying. It's such a helpful way to learn. You go, oh, this isn't just Peter or someone quoting himself or a poem. This is him quoting scripture that he knew and had memorized. So why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and dot, dot, dot. So that's the passage that they're quoting there. Psalm 2. All right. So list the people groups David is questioning in Acts 4, 25 through 26. Pay close attention to this. It's really interesting. So we have the Gentiles and the kings of the earth and the rulers gathered together against his anointed. The Gentiles, kings, and rulers. Gentiles, kings, and rulers. All right. What two claims does David's psalm make against them? What two claims does David's psalm make against them? And I left one out. I just realized. Gentiles, go back. Gentiles, peoples, kings, rulers. You're like, wait, there's not just three. You're right, there's four. Sorry about that. I skipped one. All right. You got it. Good job. Always send me notes and let me know. Hey, you missed this. I'll go back and try to see it and try to get it. Okay. So, again, back to the next question. What two claims does David's psalm make against them? And back to the psalm here. Why do the peoples rage, or the Gentiles rage, and the people plot? Why do they do that? Why do they plot and rage? Okay. And then number 9, what direct parallels in words, phrases, ideas, echo do you see between 425 through 26 and then 427? This is interesting. Check this out. So 427, for truly in this city, so he's making this distinction. He's saying, look, David focused over here on the Gentiles raging. And this is prophetic. The people's plotting, the kings of the earth setting themselves and the rulers gathering together against the Lord and against his anointed. Check this out. For truly in this city, we're gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. I'm going to actually get rid of the cross-references. There we go. That'll clean it up so I can see it a little better. Whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate. Herod and Pontius Pilate. So we have kings of the earth, rulers, along with the Gentiles. And there's Gentiles also there. And then the people of Israel. Is there a parallel? People's plot in vain, kings of the earth, rulers got it together, Lord, there's no peoples of Israel, just peoples, in general peoples. All right. So what direct parallels do you see? We saw those. What people group is included in their prayer that was not included in David's psalm? Well, I just pointed that out, the peoples of Israel. And David's psalm, it just said the peoples, peoples in general, plot in vain. But the people here, Paul or Peter, likely leading this prayer, make a very strong distinction to make sure they include the peoples of Israel are part of this group now as well. Here's David making this prayer, and he doesn't include them. He says Gentiles, kings of the earth, rulers, peoples in general, but we have here now in Acts very specifically the peoples of Israel. Okay. Why do you think they included the peoples of Israel now? Because, well, what had just happened in that previous passage I had you review? We just summarized all of that. Yeah. Yes, exactly. That the peoples of Israel are literally the ones who are plotting against Jesus. They're the ones who crucified him. All right. So what is their prayer claim about God's plan and about the people's plan? What is their prayer? Let's take a look at it. He says, do whatever your hand and your plan had destined to take place. So he is pointing out here that God's plan is appointed and anointed to take place, and the people's plan, quote unquote plan, there are threats. And he says, grant to your servants to continue to speak with all boldness against these threats here, and that theirs is in vain. Ultimately, theirs will be in vain. Okay. So the disciples' prayer takes a shift in 4:29. What did they ask God to do now? Right, all the verbs Peter uses for what he is asking God to do and all the verbs that are for the apostles. All right. Let's take a look. And I'm kind of making an assumption here that this is Peter, since it's been Peter all along doing a lot of the speaking, but it really says it's they all were praying this together. So it's Peter and everybody else all together, right? All right. So back to our question. Focus here, Jennifer. What do they ask God to do now? Right. All the verbs he uses for what they're asking God to do and all the verbs for the apostles. All right. So he says, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, do whatever your hand and your plan predestined to take place. And now, Lord, here we go. Look upon their threats and grant to your servants. And so what do the servants want to do? They want to continue to speak to your word with all boldness while you do what? You stretch out your hand. So you're looking on their threats. You're granting us to do this over here while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed in the name through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. In other words, God, you continue. We want you to continue doing whatever it is that you in your sovereign will wants to do, would have done. And we'd like to continue to be bold, to speak your word with all boldness. And we would like to continue performing the signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, which they were expressly told not to do, right? So highlight the word boldness in 4:29. And draw a box around the phrase signs and wonders in 4:30. These are good ways to highlight things in your Bible and make note of them. And they will be coming up again. This is why I'm having you do them now. All right, so let's describe the scene in chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. An immediate answer to their prayer. And the place is shaking. There's so much power of the Holy Spirit that cracked my elbow there. Their place is shaking with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd love to hear your description of what that looks like. All right. So does God answer their prayer? Yeah, immediately, because it says they continue to speak with boldness. Highlight the word boldness in 4:31. All right, so let's compare chapter 4, verse 18 with 4:29. What do you see going on? So 4:18 and 4:29. Let me go ahead and call that up. 4:18 and 29. Let's see if that, if I did it right to make them both come up. Yeah. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And then what do they hear in 4:29? And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. I love it. All right. So what do you see going on? They're saying, we will obey God and not man, flat out. There we go. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and close with this reflection on the word. Think of a time in your life when you were truly mistreated, misrepresented, maybe maligned, maybe at work, in front of family members or a group of friends. How did you respond? Consider the apostles as a godly example. In the face of actual and public mistreatment, how did the apostles respond? They prayed that the trial would stop, that they'd be vindicated? No. Their prayers focused on the truth of God and his word. They focused on the unrighteous way God was represented and his son was treated. They prayed that they could continue to speak and to speak boldly while God continued to heal and accomplish miracles. It's only natural to respond in hurt and anger when we're mistreated. It's only natural to become indignant. Hey, I don't deserve that, when we're maligned. It's only natural to look for how we can be vindicated and even how the offending person can be dealt with. It takes supernatural intervention for us to respond like the apostles did. There was nothing natural about their response. Well, not regular natural. It was supernatural. Eastern meditation, Zen behavior, even just ethical responses can help anyone look past being treated poorly. But that's not what the disciples did. They didn't just look past the hardship. They looked up. And not up and far off somewhere to the universe. They looked up to the Creator, the Sovereign Lord. As we continue through this lesson, let's tighten up our thoughts about exactly what it looks like to be a true follower of Christ. Let's look beyond the good behavior, the sacrificial behavior, and look at the root of it all, the truth and the character of God and the reality of the resurrection. Without that, being bold is something anyone can do. With it, our boldness means something for eternity. All right. I hope that resonates with you today. I had an aha moment as I was writing this for you and realized that there's a lot of religions that teach to survive and make it through and deal with persecution and all that. But it's only good works if you do that. It's only a nice thing and an ethical thing to do. It's only natural. When we look to God, when we look beyond that in a godly way, it's supernatural. And that's what we're going for. We want that kind of connection. All right. It's great being with you. Thank you so much. And I hope you'll be here with me in the next lesson coming up. And as always, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.